You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you could join us. Well, I'm looking at myself online. That is weird. That's a new experience. I wanted to read something. So we have a good friend of our church, Charlie Sweet, Jason's dad. Jason was one of our pastors here, our financial pastor. His dad just wrote a comment a few minutes ago on our live feed, and Charlie has spoken over the years into our church, and it's always been very impactful. So I just wanted to read what Charlie wrote on our live feed. He wrote, "A word from South Florida." He's stuck in South Florida, poor guy. He says, "We love and miss everyone. See you soon. There is a change of season coming to your life and the life of New Testament Church. However, you must face these seasonal changes with faith and passion to stand strong no matter what they may bring. Retreating is not an option." Retreating is not an option, Greg, for us. "The days of off and on again there need to end. The days of hiding in the caves is over with. Step out into the gifting and calling upon your life to be a liberator of others. First, you must accept that I have liberated you. You are free from the childhood past and the negativity that has held you back. Who I have set free is free indeed. When we fight God's way and with his weapons, demonic forces, strongholds, and barriers are not just pushed back or delayed. They are completely destroyed. The days of letting the enemy rob you of your victories are over with. You do not fight with weapons of this world. Wage war against the enemy with God's weapons of warfare. They have the divine power to demolish strongholds. God is lifting you up today to bring you to the next level. Do not stay away from the things I have called you to because you feel unworthy of this call. It is time to look in the mirror and see who I have made you to be." This is all of us. "Begin to seek me more. When you seek me with all your heart, you will not only encounter me, but I will also change you in the process." The word seek means to search for me nonstop until what you are seeking for is found. When you set your sights on seeking me to encounter me, the enemy is powerless to keep you from your destiny of breakthrough. Your answers to many of your questions, the deeper things of your life, are on the other side of the doors you are facing. It's time to walk through those doors. A fuller revelation awaits you. Your mantle is there waiting for you to pick it up and put on. Fight for what is yours. Put on the full armor of God every day and do battle and be prepared for victory in these spiritual battles." Thank you, Charlie, for speaking into us. God, we just accept this word over us to fight the battles that are in front of us, to live out the calling that you have for us. God, the breakthroughs, the freedom that you have for our church, for everybody represented here and all the people in our region, you have great things for us, God. And so we do seek you. We want to implement your teachings, your word, your calling on our life so that we can find greater freedom and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to read that, I'll go out to the Facebook feed and Charlie's word will be there. Well, good morning. My name is Justin. Thrilled to be with you. We're in the middle of a 10-week series that we're doing. This is, I believe, the third or fourth week, but we're looking at the passage in John chapter 14. I'll just read John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room for me and there's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come to get you, so that you will always be with me where I'm going, and you know the way to where I'm going." I love a couple weeks ago when Greg pointed out this passage. "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. You ever feel like you just don't know what God is doing? I loved it when Greg was talking about that a couple weeks ago. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we've been talking for a couple weeks about the way. Next week, we're going to be talking about how Jesus is the truth, and then the life, and then we're going to cap off the series talking about life after life, which is something that I've been wanting to speak on for several years. just the biblical understanding of death and dying and how there is more. Even this weekend, we had a dear sister from our church pass away yesterday morning at 94 years of age. And the families, the Chakranarayan families and D'Souza's and Fernandez families are grieving and mourning today, but they grieve and mourn with a hope. They have a hope of being with their mom again in heaven. We're going to talk about heaven and life after life, but this morning we're talking about the way. And last week, Greg asked two questions of us to ponder. He says, how have we shown ourselves as servants to the world? He talked about how Jesus showed the way of being a servant and how we should ask this question, how should we show ourselves as servant? I love a couple chapters before this in John chapter 12. I think it's in verse 45. Jesus is very clear on who he is and what's going on, and he's revealing himself to the crowds. He says, for when you see me, you see the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus is very clear. I am the Son of God. I am the one who has come to bring deliverance. I am the creator of the world. And what does he do after this? He washes his disciples' feet. He brings them into a room and he serves them. And then he says, go and do for others what I have done for you. Jesus modeled serving. We have a couple ladies that are going to come right now. Renee, why don't you come on up, and Heather. And they're just going to share. We've been encouraging all of us to join in house churches. And I'm going to step by the way. Why don't we, Renee, you can go first. Go over here. We've been asking, as we've all stepped into house churches, to hear on Sundays what your house church has discussed about the previous message. And so Renee has something to share. Why don't you go for it, Renee?
Okay. I'm nervous about this, but here it goes. I'm just going to kind of read my notes. But when we got together, we discussed how Greg had said to have our actions be louder than our words. And in doing that, for me right now, that means me just, first of all, saying that I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I choose to walk in that rather than what I'm feeling inside. So that's part of making our actions louder than our words is actually clinging to God's words, what he says over us, as opposed to what our thoughts are. I was reminded when we were talking about this, that at one point in a church that I was going to, there was a sister in the Lord who, a few of us women, yes, we did, talked about how uncomfortable we were around her, that she seemed to come off more spiritual than us and everything else. And it was really difficult to be around her, and I found myself just not even willing to receive the words that she was saying. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, but I like her. I like her. And at that point, the action that I took was, I'm going to invite her over. And I'm going to find out why God likes her. I'm going to find out what she's got and why she's so special in God's eyes. I invited her over. I found that we both enjoyed making jewelry. So I had a ton of jewelry stuff. And so I invited her over, made some chai, we sat, we talked, we made jewelry. And it ended up that this woman has a beautiful soul and a beautiful heart for the Lord. We became friends. And not only that, her husband and my husband became friends, and we've started hanging out and doing things together. And I actually was the one that got blessed in that. I received another sister in the Lord. I built a friendship that still goes on to this day. And I'm able to hear beautiful words that she speaks in her blogs. And she's just really a beautiful soul for the Lord. So taking the action, going above and beyond what our thoughts are telling us, what our minds are telling us, or even what some of our brothers and sisters are telling us. I just challenge you to to make a decision to find out what God sees in that person and not what everybody else sees and not what you're thinking, because there is something beautiful in them. And one of the other things that we talked about was, I had shared this with Greg also, is I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am is one of God's names. And so when you speak of yourself, I am Renee. I am is always necessary to use before I describe myself or say who I am. And so in doing that, our Father's name, I am, he exists first. And without his existence, I am, I don't exist. I have my existence from him. And so our I am only exists because of his I am. And when you speak your name, you must always speak his name first. His existence is first, and ours flows from it. Let everything begin with him and flow forth from him. We not only live for him, but also from him. To live from his living, to move from his moving, to act from his actions, and to feel from his heart, to be from his being, and to become who we are, or who he meant for us to be in him. So he is our I am, and only because of that we are. And my biggest takeaway this week was that him being the way is, he bore witness of the existence of God. And so are we bearing witness in everything that we say and do that would prove and show his existence? That's good.
When we had small group, Greg was asking us what really stood out to us. The one thing that really stood out was the question, do I have a servant's heart, even in difficult moments? There's two different things I wanted to point on. Number one, I'm a residential manager at a homeless shelter up in Malone, and I work with drug addicts and those that have substance abuse disorders. And just being a servant in that aspect, going in each day, there's many difficult times, and just going in at it with a servant's heart and not in a worldly mindset, I guess, because there's many times where I would be angry, but I try to turn the situation around into how would God look at this situation. So loving on those that are having difficult times, staying sober, walking with them. So that's one of the ways I serve God. And then the second thing that inspired me, Greg said was, he was talking about going home and saying something to your father and how they have served you. So Patty spoke a couple of weeks ago about my dad. He had a stroke back in December, and he can't speak. He's paralyzed. He can't use that side of the body. sorry. So anyways, I wanted to give him a gift, and there's not really much I can give to him other than my words. So as Greg was talking, it really inspired me to, I wrote like all through the card, on the back of the card, on the envelope, on the way that my dad has had an impact on me, on my life. And as I was reading it to him, we both had a good cry. So to me, that was like a really treasured moment in serving him. So.
Thank you, Heather and Renee. So this week in your house church, in your small group, if you're watching online or in here in the room, I know Debbie was ready to go today, but we'll give her a chance again. We'd love to hear how our words land, not just our words, but what we're going through in the scripture, what we're seeing together through these messages, through the scripture, to encourage one another as you talk about it in house churches and small groups. So you're next. So, well, Greg ended last week with this phrase. I wrote it down while he was speaking. He says, if you want to live the ways of Jesus, you have to look at how he lived and what he taught us to do. So I have in your notes that you got when you came in or online, says I wrote, Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection made a way for us to be reconciled to God and gave us an example to follow, a way. So often we see this two-part in so many places in Scripture where Jesus says, or it's said of Jesus, that he made a way, and now do as I do. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a second. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. This is Paul. And so often in the book of Acts and in the writings of Paul, he's applying what he sees in the life of Jesus, and he's applying it to the church in the city in Corinth. And he writes, he says, he died, speaking of Jesus, he died for everyone so that those who receive his life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation that we see in the words of Jesus and the words of Paul and all over the New Testament, how Jesus is an example to us. He showed us a way and then said, okay, now you go and do it. Tag, you're it. We're it. And we have, I love this phrasing in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that we have a ministry, all of us that look to Jesus, all of us that have been reconciled to Jesus because of the way that Jesus lived, because of what he did on the cross, now we have a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile others to him, to each other, to us, to ourselves, that we need to be reconciled, restored. We have that honor and that privilege. I have this quote also in your notes from Eugene Peterson, thinking of how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, the Jesus way, wedded to the Jesus truth, brings about the Jesus life. We can't proclaim the Jesus truth, but then do it any old way we like. Nor can we follow the Jesus way without speaking the Jesus truth. These three things that Jesus spoke of when he said, I am the way, the truth, and life, they're dramatically interconnected. You can't have one without the other. You can't get the Jesus life without accepting the Jesus truth and following the Jesus way. And you don't really know the truth if you aren't living the way of Jesus. We need them all. However, in church so often, at least my observation, is that we focus, as a church in general, we focus on Jesus as truth more than the others, I think. And I it's not that he's not. We're going to talk for the next 3 weeks about how Jesus is the truth. But he begins by saying, I'm the way. Watch how I live. Watch what I am like. See how I interact. And you'll get the truth by following me. You'll see the truth in how I interact. You'll see the truth. You'll get the life. But the way comes first. When I was younger, we had these bracelets that we wore, and the phrase is still around, what would Jesus do? WWJD. We had t-shirts and bracelets and hats and sweatshirts and all kinds of stuff. We don't have as much anymore, but I wonder this idea, what would Jesus do? Although I think it's an incredible question to ask yourself, I'm beginning to think maybe a more appropriate question for right now is, how would he do it? Not just, maybe we can know what Jesus would do, but how? How would he approach the situation? How would he speak love? How would he share truth? I think that's an important question to ask. We can't separate what Jesus is saying from what he is doing and the way that he is doing it. I love biographies and autobiographies. I was thinking this morning how Josh, I've heard him when he talks multiple times, he'll say he likes to watch documentaries. I do like documentaries, but I really like, there's Josh's giving a fist bump there. Documentaries. I really like biographies and autobiographies. And I've read a number of biographies and autobiographies over the years recently. Some ones that come to mind, Condoleezza Rice wrote a really good book called Extraordinary Ordinary People. Really good book by George W. Bush about his dad called Number 41. Loved it. Scott Harrison, who started an organization called Charity Water, which builds wells all over the world, wrote a book last year called Thirst. I love reading about people's lives. I love reading about who they are and what makes them tick and how they did the things that they do. Right now I'm reading a book about Robert Iger that he wrote. He's the CEO of Disney. And it's fascinating to read about people's lives. But most of these biographies, Robert Iger's is not as big, but most of them are quite thick. They're big. And some of them are extremely impactful. They're all impactful to some extent. Even people that I overall would disagree with, there's some impactful stuff. When you look at somebody's life, there's some impactful stuff. But they're usually big and they're sometimes impactful. But no biography is as impactful as these short pieces of literature that we have called the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're not that long. They're pretty short pieces of literature. But the effect, the impact of the life of Jesus captured in a few pages is so much more impactful than any biography or autobiography that will ever be written. We have these gospels. We have these stories. I want to read this quote that I have on your handout. It's from a pastor in Portland. His name is John Mark Comer. He says, if you want to emulate someone, you don't just look at what he or she did. You look at how he or she lived the details of day-to-day life. Jesus never commands you to wake up in the morning and have a quiet time. Read your Bible, live in community, practice Sabbath, give your money to the poor, or any of the core practices from his way. He just does these practices and then says, follow me. His life shows us what to do. And he does give us some very specific commands. They're not that many. Really, what we get from the Gospels is not a set of beliefs and teaching, but we get a way of living from watching the life of Jesus. In his teachings, we absorb those teachings, but we watch how he lived it out. We watch the way that he was. We see him doing it. I was with the family I spoke about earlier. I was with them yesterday morning after their mom passed, and Kunj came over to me and he said, my mom walked her faith. She lived it. She was an example to her family. And we see that fruit in her family and just this incredible family. But his testimony of his mom was that she walked it out. So we look at the life of Jesus and we see him walking out how to live, how to be, how to interact, how to serve, how to sacrifice. And we can learn an awful lot. You know, the pace of life for many of us in the last couple months has changed. Some of us, like Matt, your pace of life hasn't changed because the mail goes every day. It doesn't matter what coronavirus says, the mail is coming. But for others, I was talking to Tony this week, and he was saying how, you know, sports has been canceled, which has dramatically impacted Tony's life as a coach and as a father. How the last season, how we haven't had school to take our kids to, and we haven't had sporting events, and we don't have restaurants to go sit at. So many things have changed. Our pace of life for many of us has changed dramatically. And I've talked to so many of you that have said, I kind of like the pace of life. You know, there's elements of it now. I want to go back to a restaurant and eat. And I'd like to do it with more than six people. We went over to a restaurant. I didn't even know you couldn't eat you couldn't sit in a big enough table for more people. They won't allow that, which makes sense. I'm looking forward to that day, but the pace of life has changed dramatically. It reminded me when we were in Uganda for a short time, and how I've shared this before, how a pastor there who's spoken here, Kent Forrester, he said, when you go back to the States, try to live like you lived when you're in Uganda, because the pace of life is a lot different. It's a lot. It's very painful, actually. I mean, Kayla, going to exchange money at the bank takes hours sometimes. I didn't understand why I'd go into the bank and just the run around and trying to pay a bill. I mean, I can complain about the inefficiency, but that's not what I want to talk about. Because really, the pace, what I realize is the pace of life there changes like how you interact with people. If you walk up to somebody and you want to buy a pineapple from them, it's really a good idea to start a conversation. You don't just say, here's the money, have a pineapple. Like, oh, how are you? Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? What's going on? Like, you have to engage at a deeper level. And how in this season, our pace has changed, and that's a good thing. We should look to the life of Jesus to see the pace of his life, the rhythms of his life. I've talked about this over the last couple of months, the rhythms of Jesus' life, how he lived. We can learn an awful lot from him. I have a friend in Portland. His name is Dylan. And the first thing you recognize about Dylan when you meet him is he's not from here. He's Australian. You ever heard an Australian accent or spoken to somebody from Australia? You know in like seconds, he's not from here. Like the accent just tips their hat. You know, well, I know you're from Australia. I can just tell by your voice. Now, Josh can do a pretty good impression of an Australian accent, usually from like a Hillsong like worship leader. But sometimes some of our mannerisms, some of our culture, some of the way that we speak kind of just tips your hat a little bit to, I know something about you. When I lived in Portland, I had a number of people, and I lived in Oregon, I had a number of people who said, are you Canadian? Because of the way that I talk. Now, you might think, well, maybe Justin sounds Canadian, but I don't sound Canadian. Well, you also don't sound like you're from Brooklyn either. You don't sound like you're from Tennessee. You don't sound like you're from Texas. We talk different. Now, we are not Canadian. I am American through and through. I love America. I am here. I'm not Canadian. But I can understand, like, once in a while that A would slip out when I was working. And they're like, see, you are Canadian. You lied to us. So our mannerisms, our way of life, the way that we respond to people, the way that we treat people ought to tip our hat to the fact that we are Christ followers, that we are Christians. People should be able to smell it on us. I don't really know what that smells like, but I know what it looks like. We ought to reflect the one that we are following. And so we have these four biographies of Jesus that include teaching, but mostly, as I said earlier, are stories. We get to see, we get to feel what Jesus is like. We get to observe his ways. His ways include actions, lifestyle, how he lived. James, in James 1:22, James is pretty blunt. I'll just read the book of James sometime. He says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Enough said. But our independent spirits often feels like, well, that's a little confining. I mean, be honest with me. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, do any of you feel like, well, that sounds a little confining? I know Greg talked about that a couple weeks ago, and it is, absolutely. You know, but we are independent. We are Americans. We love our freedom. You know, don't talk to me about guns. Don't talk to me about taxes. Don't talk to me. We have in us, like, just raise it up. I know, even saying guns, I can feel you. Some of you are saying, well, what's he going to say next? And some of you think I'm a different political persuasion than I actually am, but we're on the same page here. But we have this independence. We don't want people to tell us what to do. Well, Jesus tells us what to do. But he doesn't just tell us what to do. He lives it. He shows what living really looks like. He shows what true joy really looks like. Because the question is, who knows best? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light. Most of us don't think to look to Jesus for advice on how to be happy. When I think about, man, I want to figure out how to be happy, I don't typically think, let's go look at the Gospels. But really, I love what C.S. Lewis says. This one isn't in your notes. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. True happiness, peace, joy comes from God. Nowhere else. The Gospels are not a presentation of laws and rules, but a presentation of a life lived right. A life lived in love, a life lived in service to others, a life that is worthy to follow. As Christians, as Christ followers, as disciples, whatever we want to call ourselves, it is our responsibility, and I think I have this in your notes, to understand and implement the teachings of Jesus. It's our responsibility to understand and implement the teachings of Jesus. Jesus' longest recorded teaching, this is in your notes, Jesus' longest recorded teaching is bookend with these two verses. Matthew chapter 5 says, but anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And ends his long teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and chapter 7, verse 24, with anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a rock. So we have these four mini biographies. I say mini because they're small. You print these by themselves and you won't even see them on your bookshelf. But it's our responsibility, it's on us to absorb the life of Jesus, to read it, to see how he interacts, to see what he says, to listen to his teaching, to put it into practice, but to observe what he is like with people, how he is. I want to end with this verse, John 13:35. John writes, Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How we treat each other, how we treat not just each other in this room, how we treat each other in humanity, in the human race, how we treat each other will prove that we are his disciples. May we be known by our love. This is a message that we've been preaching for years. This is something that we've been talking about over and over again. May we be known for love. May our actions testify to our faith. When people see us interact, when they see the way that we respond, I've had to respond recently. I paid a service to do a service at my house, and I'm very not happy with the service that was rendered, and I'm trying to figure out, well, how do I respond? Because I want to just, like, throw a fit to get a good product that I'm paying good money for. So I'm challenging. I don't have the answer on how I should respond. I'm still working on it. My wife says, just pay him. I'm like, ugh. But how we respond should tip our hat to who we are. And that's followers of Christ. That's Christians. That's disciples. I invite you to stand with me. I have two questions on the bottom of your sheet. Two questions that I'd like you to pose to yourself this week. Two questions that I'd like you to pose to each other when you meet in small groups and house churches and gather together. First one is, will you take time to learn the ways of Jesus? Speaking of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will you take time? You don't have to read the whole thing in one shot. Sit down and read the first chapter of John. Actually, start with John. That's a good place to start. Well, I don't care where you start. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all good. Will you take the time to learn the ways of Jesus? And the second question, will you voice practical ways in which you can better follow Jesus? And what I mean is, with your spouse, with those around you, your friends, with your house church, with your small group, will you voice to each other practical ways in which you can follow the way of Jesus? To hold each other accountable. Now, I wasn't planning on telling you about this job that I have in my house. Now I just put it out there over the airways, and you're like, so how'd you handle that? I got to figure out how to handle that in a godly way. But put yourself out there with each other. I really want to follow Jesus better in this way. I really want to learn how to forgive that person, to walk out forgiveness, to love that person. I love what Renee said. The Holy Spirit just told her, go find out why I love her, why I love that person. It didn't take very long for you to do it. It took a little bit of nerve, took a little bit of, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. How can you follow the way of Jesus, the way that he lived, the way that he interacted, the way that he was? How can you follow that way? We are all invited to follow Jesus. Whether this is a new idea for you, whether you walked away at some point and are finding your way back, or whether you've been coming for years and you've been following him faithfully every day, all of us are invited to follow the way of Jesus. Why don't we pray together? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the way that you lived. We thank you that we have a tangible representation of the Father, that you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That we get to see what God is like with skin on in the person of yourself, in Jesus Christ, who came, who lived, who died, who was put into a tomb and who came out and rose to life again so that we can all experience life. We get to see what love is like. We get to see what life is like. We get to see what joy is like. We get to see what it means to serve. God, we thank you for who you are. And God, I pray for every person in this room, every person that's listening online, every person that will stumble across this at a later time. We all have the opportunity right now to follow the way of Jesus afresh. I just invite you in your own way to just say to Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I choose to follow you. God, may we be a place that represents this to Messina, to the North Country, to the world. May people know who you are because of us. Jesus, we commit to follow you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for following with me. Thank you for gathering together in small groups and house churches. And if you're looking to connect in that way, message me, come and talk to me, my wife, or any of the staff members. But thank you for following with me. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.